In today's world, smartphones and personal devices are our constant companions, storing everything from our personal conversations to sensitive financial information. But what if we told you that your phone, iPad, or tablet could be weaponized against you without your knowledge? Imagine someone accessing your emails, messages, and even activating your camera, microphone, or remotely detonating your device to injure or kill you, all without leaving a trace. Sounds like something out of a spy movie, right? Well, this isn't fiction, it's real. And Israel is doing it in acts of mass indiscriminate terror around the world. Think about that next time your phone is at your ear, in your hand, or in your pocket. Today we're talking about Pegasus, one of the most sophisticated pieces of cyber weaponry ever created, developed by the NSO Group, an Israeli cybersecurity company. Spyware surveillance and digital cyber weaponry is malicious malware framework designed to infiltrate devices like phones or computers and extract private data without the user's consent. But what makes Pegasus stand out is its sheer sophistication. It can be installed on a target's phone or device without them clicking on a malicious link or even realizing they're infected. This type of attack is called a zero-click exploit. The big three spyware malware culprits are called Pegasus, Predator, and Alien. Once installed, malware can access everything on your personal device, your text messages, emails, photos, browsing history, contacts, GPS location, and even encrypted messaging apps like WhatsApp or Signal. It can turn on your camera and microphone to eavesdrop on your conversations in real time. More insidiously, malware can blow up devices by hacking the device's battery management systems, or BMS. Most lithium batteries incorporate BMS that monitor temperature, voltage, and current. These systems help prevent conditions that could lead to overheating, overcharging, and excessive discharge rates that can cause fires or explosions, turning devices into improvised explosive devices, or IEDs. This includes mobile phones, pagers, iPads, tablets, electric cars, solar panel controllers, consumer appliance, or office and industrial equipment. Remote detonation is via cell towers or Wi-Fi to cause fear, terror, and death at a cowardly distance. The NSO group behind Pegasus was founded in 2010 by Niv Karmi, Omri Lavie, and Shelev Julio in Israel. From the beginning, the company marketed its Pegasus spyware as a tool for governments to fight terrorism and crime. According to NSO, they only sell the spyware to government agencies, specifically law enforcement and intelligence services, for the purpose of tracking down terrorists, drug cartels, and other high-value targets. The company claims to operate under strict export control laws, with sales approved by the Israeli Ministry of Defense. And boom, there it is. Israel is involved as it is with most spyware. So, are the bad guys masquerading as the good guys? If Israel is involved, we say yes, so listen up. Pegasus quickly became notorious for being used against individuals who have nothing to do with terrorism or criminal activities. Journalists, human rights activists, political dissidents, high-value targets, and even politicians have been targeted by the spyware. Pegasus can infect a phone in multiple ways using exploits, and one of the most frightening methods is the zero-click attack. Traditionally, spyware relied on users clicking a malicious link, but Pegasus can be remotely installed without the target being aware or taking any action at all. For example, it has been shown that Pegasus could exploit vulnerabilities in apps like WhatsApp or iMessage to send malicious data to a target device, allowing the spyware to be installed automatically. Once on the device, Pegasus gains root access, meaning it can bypass virtually all security protections. It doesn't just collect data stored on the phone, it also intercepts communications as they happen. This includes real-time access to messages, phone calls, and encrypted app data. Pegasus's widespread use has led to several high-profile controversies. One of the most notable instances was in 2019, when WhatsApp revealed that the spyware was used to target over 1,400 of its users. These weren't criminals or terrorists, but journalists, human rights defenders, and opposition politicians across the world. The Pegasus Project, a collaboration between media outlets and Amnesty International, revealed in 2021 that Pegasus had been used to target thousands of individuals across over 50 countries. The leaked list included activists, reporters, and even heads of state, such as French President Emmanuel Macron, as we now know he has lots to hide. One of the most chilling accounts of the use of Pegasus is the case of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi, who was murdered in 2018. Investigations revealed that individuals close to him, including his fiancée Hatice Cengiz and his colleagues, had their phones infected with Pegasus spyware in the months leading up to his murder and dismemberment. Jamal Khashoggi was murdered inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, Turkey, on October 2, 2018, by Saudi agents using the Israeli terror Pegasus cyber weapon. After his corpse was cut up into pieces, what remained of Khashoggi was spirited out of Turkey and flown back to Saudi Arabia by private jet as a blood-dripping warning to other journalists or critics of the Saudi royal family. Neither the Saudi royal family that rules over the oppressive Saudi Arabian authoritarian kingdom or their co-conspirator and enabler Israel were ever held accountable, just as happened in Lebanon, where pagers, mobile phones, and even solar controllers indiscriminately exploded, injuring and killing. Innocent children next to their parents were killed. It was an act of terrorism for which Israel was not held to account. The Khashoggi killing revelations caused an international uproar, leading to accusations that the NSO group was enabling authoritarian regimes to silence dissents and suppress the freedom of the press. Israel uses Pegasus to target Palestinians in Gaza in concert with Project Lavender. It bombs the targets' homes, which are now tents, as most homes in Gaza have been reduced to rubble, killing everyone in the vicinity, including mothers and children. Peter Thiel, the business partner of Elon Musk in X, and J.D. Vance's biggest donor, runs a company called Palantir that feeds the Israelis data to its lavender-targeting AI of death to kill Palestinian women and children. The use of Pegasus has ignited a global debate about privacy, government surveillance, and cybersecurity. On one side, the NSO group defends its product, arguing that Pegasus is a vital tool in the fight against terrorism, organized crime, and child exploitation. The NSO group claims their software has helped law enforcement agencies worldwide to thwart terrorist plots and rescue victims of human trafficking. However, human rights organizations argue that the risks outweigh the benefits, and if Israel is involved, we know Pegasus is being used as an offensive weapon. The lack of transparency and accountability and how Pegasus is deployed has raised concerns about mass surveillance and the violation of basic civil liberties. In some cases, governments have reportedly used Pegasus to monitor political opponents and journalists rather than criminals or terrorists. One man's terrorist is often another man's freedom fighter against unconscionable aggression and tyranny. Multiple lawsuits have been filed against the NSO group, including one by Facebook, now Meta, accusing the company of exploiting a vulnerability in WhatsApp to install Pegasus on users' devices. In 2021, the U.S. government blacklisted the NSO group, limiting its ability to do business with American companies. Israel has been caught spying on the U.S. government and its agencies. The American-Israel dual national Jonathan Pollard is the most notorious example. He's now in Israel. All U.S. senators and representatives are at risk from Israel for blackmail and data theft, yet these very same congressional members inexplicably continue to send weapons and aid to Israel as if it's America's best friend. It is not. If our representatives are not bought with political donor money from the Israel Public Affairs Committee or AIPAC that buys, bribes, or blackmails congresspeople to hold them and the nation captive, Representative Thomas Massie has warned us about this in a discussion with Tucker Carlson, who naively feigned incredulity.
The idea of a foreign government playing in our political campaigns openly.
Openly in that they're showing you they're doing it, but opaquely in that you can't track it because they're not registered.
Is there any other Republican who has your views on this?
Well, I have Republicans who come to me on the floor and say, I wish I could vote with you today. Yours is the right vote, but I would just take too much flack back home. And I have Republicans who come to me and say, that's wrong what AIPAC is doing to you. Let me talk to my AIPAC person. By the way, everybody but me has an AIPAC person.
What does that mean, an AIPAC person?
It's like your babysitter, your AIPAC babysitter, who is always talking to you for AIPAC.
And every member has something like this?
I don't know how it works on the Democrat side, but that's how it works on the Republican side.
so, how can you protect yourself from a powerful tool like Pegasus? The truth is, no system is 100% secure, but there are steps you can take to make it harder for spyware to infiltrate your device. At number one, keep your software up to date. Most zero-click exploits take advantage of software vulnerabilities. Regularly updating your phone's operating system and apps reduces your risk of being targeted. Two, use encrypted messaging apps. While Pegasus can intercept encrypted apps, tools like Signal and WhatsApp still offer an extra layer of protection, especially if you frequently update them. Until recently, Telegram has been the safest. Three, limit third-party app installations. Only download apps from official stores like the Apple App Store or Google Play. Third-party app stores are more likely to host malware. Four, be cautious of unusual behavior. If your phone is heating up excessively, the battery is draining faster than usual, or you notice unusual data usage, it could be a sign of malware infection. 5. Perform regular phone resets. Some reports suggest that Pegasus doesn't persist after a complete device reset. While this is not a foolproof method, it might help clear out some infections. Pegasus is a powerful reminder of the thin line between surveillance for security and the abuse of power. And now the bad news, as if it couldn't get any worse. Can you protect yourself? And if not, what does it mean? And what are the horrific consequences you've never considered, as your phones and computers aren't safe, cannot be safe, and never will be safe, no matter what authorities try to do? And now more so than ever, with the rise of AI that will write code which humans cannot readily understand. And if they come to do so, they can't keep up with the changes, as AI avoids countermeasures, whether human or human-allied AI. We're sleepwalking into a nightmare the average person can't comprehend. People like Elon Musk has warned the civilization, and it's not listening, while Elon inexplicably also seeks to profit and benefit from the very demon he warns about and will learn about in a moment. This is very, very serious. We have focused on Pegasus because it's an easy to comprehend threat and relatable, as most people in the advanced world have a mobile device and some have computers. In the case of computers, most businesses and corporations have them. Pegasus spyware can be a challenge to detect for technicians and impossible for the average phone user. Nothing short of getting a new phone and not migrating anything from the old phone will fix the Pegasus problem for certain, and even then the new phone can succumb to Pegasus. The Pegasus spyware is designed to operate stealthily on both iOS and Android devices. All popular virus detectors can't identify and protect against Pegasus. However, in desperation, some people have deployed a mobile verification toolkit. This open-source tool allows users to check for signs of Pegasus infection on their devices, but it can't remove the spyware. The MVT is very difficult to use for the average person, and outcomes are uncertain. It requires qualified cybersecurity experts or managed security service providers to deploy the MVT. The Russian Kaspersky virus detector can perform a shutdown log analysis and deduce if anomalies linked to Pegasus infections might be present. It's neither a certain method, and nor is it a fix. In any event, it can only be used on Apple iOS devices, and even then, it's not a fix. While these methods can aid, they cannot guarantee detection and cannot fix the Pegasus problem. The sophisticated and insidious nature of Pegasus means that complete assurance of phone devices infected is difficult, if not impossible, to determine, even for most technicians. And yet, this is not the most harrowing part of Pegasus, as you don't know for certain you're a Pegasus victim, and you can't remedy what you can't identify or ever detect. This leads to anxiety and mistrust of mobile and computer technology that's becoming indispensable for digital transactions as the acceptance of cash disappears. The use of cash must not be allowed to disappear by our governments, and there should be no limit on cash transactions. If there is one reason to reject the phase out of cash, it's Pegasus and its ilk that might arise. Pegasus can undermine commerce and the financial system by destroying digital confidence for use with merchants, consumers, banks, and financial service providers. With a collapse of digital confidence will come disruption of the means of exchange, disrupt supply chains and the distribution of food, medical supplies, and energy, to name a few essentials to sustain modern life. People will die just as if there was a nuclear war on the planet. This is what cyber war will do, and why cybersecurity is critical. It's not us alone who says this. The Pentagon treats it as a major, clear, and present danger. Listen to Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on cyber warfare, or more appropriately, Israel's approach to now waging cyber war, which we saw in Lebanon turning everyday devices into weapons of terror, injuring and killing indiscriminately to install fear and terrorize a population.
The Internet of Things is going to create so many connections. It's a new kind of warfare. Very different from what we've seen before. It's not futuristic, and it's not exaggerated. It's moving very rapidly to a situation where, with the click of a button, you can bring down nations to their knees very rapidly, if you so desire, and if you're willing to take the risks, because every system can be hacked. Our airplanes, our hospitals, our cars, our banks. Actually, the most important word here is our data banks. They can be hacked. And the possibilities of sabotage and worse are all there. So this new type of warfare gets more complicated by the day using these tools of big data, connectivity, and artificial intelligence. The same tools they use can be used against them and are being used against them with great effectiveness. I won't go into that. The Internet of Things can be hijacked by nefarious actors for dangerous purposes with dangerous results. Again, what you see today is going to get a lot worse in the future.
Israel's Pegasus is just one tool on the road to the fall of the civilization as we know it today, and why it must be taken seriously. Pegasus and its ilk are existential cyber threats to the economic order and our way of life, thanks to Israel proliferating cyber weapons as it did in 2010 with the Stuxnet virus. It destroyed numerous centrifuges in Iran's Natanz uranium enrichment facility. These are tools of war for the havoc they wreak. Cyber threats and cyber war is real. You can't run or hide now we've sleepwalked into a digital existence. Absolutely everything digital is vulnerable, and it never should be accepted for identity or interaction with institutions and government. Security and privacy is impossible. Pegasus is a national security threat. For the economy, a parallel system for cash transactions must be maintained, and merchants must be legally obliged to always accept cash. The most at-risk nation in the world to cybersecurity is China. It has rushed headlong into digital transactions and personal identity and biometrics as part of its security surveillance state for full spectrum dominance or full spectrum superiority to control all aspects of the war on its population, who otherwise might one day seek liberty and freedom from the oppressive Chinese Communist Party. China hasn't realized it's made itself vulnerable to cyber war that could existentially destroy the state on the road to destroying its population's privacy, freedoms, free speech, and freedom of thought and association. In the process of securing total state control, it's sown the seeds of its own destruction. This goes for every nation that's doing what China has done, building a cyber gulag for its people. The right to be digitally free is a must, and never more so now with the rise of AI, which is far beyond Pegasus. As technology advances, so too do the methods of intrusion and control. While the NSO group claims Pegasus is used for good, its misuse shows how unchecked surveillance can have devastating consequences for freedom, privacy, and democracy. And if Israel is involved, rest assured there is no good going on. It threatens the world as digitization proliferates, as AI is allowed to permeate our lives and destroy the civilization that safely got this far without it. Stay informed, stay vigilant, and always remember, in a digital age, the fight for your privacy is more important than ever. Freedom of speech is the most potent tool you have to protect yourself, for as a collective that can influence each other by free communication, it makes it impossible for tyranny to hold power. Free speech is your guarantee of freedom. Pegasus was designed to know what you're saying and thinking. Evil people from an evil nation conceived and deployed it. Even if we find a way to detect and sterilize Pegasus, the evildoers will devise a substitute or replacement. We're in a cyber war for the civilization, and most most people don't even realize it's happening. Subscribe wherever you're watching this video so you don't miss other videos we produce for your information to keep you informed and intelligent. Be careful out there, as the bad guys appear to be the good guys and your friend, when in fact they're very bad. Very, very bad indeed.
Yeah, folks, that is a video. That opening video was from jeffrentz.com, and good on him for getting that video made, because it explains everything I've been saying for the last years, folks. I've been warning people about all these smart devices and where the world is going and what all this surveillance grid is about for years. I've been suggesting that people throw away their smartphones. These are actually explosive devices. And everything we've seen unfold in the last year has demonstrated that perfectly, folks, through what they've done in Gaza. And as I've said so many times, why people need to pay attention to Palestine is because if we do not heal it, then the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. And the genocide there just continues, bombing food aid, as I showed you last time. They're getting away with all this sort of stuff, getting around calls for arms embargoes and things by saying, no, no, we're not starving the people out, we're actually sending in food aid. But then the food aid, it's just a charade. The whole thing is a charade. They sent food aid in the other day, things like sugar and flour. The flour was contaminated, and the bags of sugar had been replaced with bags of sand. Yeah, I mean, who even thinks up this sort of stuff, folks? You know, the deviousness and the cruelty of these people is really unmatched. There was tinned food that they left behind as well, deliberately, for the Palestinians to find it was contaminated. There were children and adults suffering convulsions after eating this tinned food. Yeah, and they're just continuing on their rampage. You know, and the problem is, as I've said so many times, is the Christians are supporting it. It's just remarkable that Christians have been programmed into supporting these people in what they do. And this legitimization and justification for genocide that the Israelis have been kind of setting up. But the Christians still support it. Meanwhile, Israel bombed the oldest Greek Orthodox church, Christian church, in West Bank the other day. Yes, yeah, what they do. And they're doing the same sort of thing in Lebanon. Been totally trashing Lebanon. Of course, there's been a ceasefire called, but Israel broke the ceasefire 6 times within the first 2 hours. Of course, they're claiming Lebanon is breaking the ceasefire. Israel doesn't want a ceasefire. Israel wants to occupy Lebanon. And they're doing the same thing in Lebanon as what they've been doing in Gaza, just bombing civilian areas, bombing civilian homes, wiping out entire villages in southern Lebanon. Yeah, just the other day they bombed a church in Lebanon, and not just any church. This is one of the oldest churches in the world, and it is actually the mausoleum of the biblical Simon Peter. Thank you. You think that would have some effect on the Christian community to see them doing this? They bombed Peter's mausoleum. That's what they do, because of course they're just targeting Hezbollah, which must be also why they are tearing up football pitches. Yeah, just targeting Hezbollah folks. We can't have the kids playing football. I guess there might be some Hezbollah watching or something. Maybe Hezbollah enjoy football. Incredible, folks. And it's just ongoing, and it's being supported completely by most Western politicians. Even with the ICC calling for the arrest of Benjamin Netanyahu and what's the guy's name? Yoav Gallant, I think, the former defense minister.
The International Criminal Court sent shockwaves across the world by issuing arrest warrants for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and former defense minister Yoav Gallant. They are accused of war crimes. The charges stem from their actions during the 2023 to 2024 Gaza war. The ICC alleges that Israeli forces, under their command, committed atrocities. These include the starvation of civilians as a weapon of war. This unprecedented move by the ICC has ignited a firestorm of controversy. Israel, a nation accustomed to international scrutiny, finds itself in uncharted territory. The warrants have exposed deep divisions within the international community. They have also laid bare the complexities of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The ICC's decision has far-reaching consequences. It sets a precedent for holding powerful leaders accountable for their actions. This has sent ripples of anxiety through governments around the world. The warrants have also emboldened critics of Israel's policies in Gaza. They argue that this is a long overdue step towards justice for the Palestinian people. The ICC's actions have placed Israel in a difficult position. The nation now faces the prospect of its leaders being arrested on foreign soil. This is a scenario that could further inflame tensions in the already volatile Middle East. To understand the gravity of the ICC's decision, one must delve into the intractable conflict between Israel and Palestine. For decades, Gaza has been a crucible of violence and despair. The densely populated strip of land, home to millions of Palestinians, has endured multiple wars and a crippling blockade. The root of the conflict lies in the competing claims to the land. Both Israelis and Palestinians view the territory as integral to their historical and religious heritage. This has led to cycles of violence and mistrust that have spanned generations. The 2023 to 2024 Gaza War was one of the deadliest chapters in this long and bloody conflict. Israeli airstrikes and artillery fire caused widespread destruction in Gaza. Hospitals, schools, and civilian homes were reduced to rubble. The Palestinian death toll was staggering, with a disproportionate number of women and children among the victims. The conflict has left an indelible scar on the people of Gaza. They suffer from poverty, unemployment, and a lack of basic necessities. The blockade imposed by Israel, while intended to prevent weapons from reaching Hamas, has had a devastating impact on the civilian population. It has restricted the flow of essential goods and services, creating a humanitarian crisis. The ICC's decision to issue arrest warrants for Netanyahu and Gallant has reverberated across the globe. Reactions have been sharply divided, reflecting the complex geopolitical landscape and the polarizing nature of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The United States, a staunch ally of Israel, has vehemently denounced the ICC's move. It has accused the court of overreach and bias against Israel. Other Western powers have expressed reservations about the warrants, while stopping short of outright condemnation. In contrast, many countries in the global south have welcomed the ICC's decision. They view it as a victory for international law and a step towards holding Israel accountable for its actions. South Africa in particular has been vocal in its support for the court. The ICC's actions have also reignited the debate about the selectiveness of international justice. Critics argue that the court has disproportionately targeted leaders from Africa and other developing regions. They point to the lack of prosecutions against leaders from powerful Western nations as evidence of a double standard. The ICC's decision has been met with condemnation from Iran, Syria, and Russia. These countries, often at odds with the West, view the warrants as a manifestation of Western hypocrisy and a blatant attempt to undermine Israel, a key ally in the region. Iran, which has long been a vocal supporter of the Palestinian cause, has seized upon the ICC's move as further evidence of Israel's criminal nature. The Iranian government has called for the immediate arrest and trial of Netanyahu and Gallant, accusing them of war crimes and crimes against humanity. They have also used this opportunity to draw parallels between Israel's actions in Gaza and the plight of the Palestinian people to the suffering of Syrians under the Assad regime, thereby attempting to forge a sense of solidarity among those they perceive as victims of Western imperialism. Syria, grappling with its own protracted civil war, has echoed Iran's condemnation of Israel and the West. The Syrian government has accused the ICC of double standards, pointing to its inaction in the face of alleged war crimes committed by Western-backed rebel groups in Syria. They argue that the ICC's focus on Israel is a distraction from the West's own complicity in the suffering of people in the Middle East. Russia, locked in a geopolitical standoff with the West over Ukraine, has also been quick to denounce the ICC's decision. The Russian government has accused the West of manipulating the ICC for its own political ends. They argue that the arrest warrants are part of a broader Western strategy to weaken Israel and maintain its dominance in the Middle East.
People are saying they're not going to respect the witches of the ICC, saying it's a kangaroo court, blah, blah, blah. Of course, when it's prosecuting someone that they don't like, such as Saddam Hussein, they're totally in support of it. But it would appear that Israel can do no wrong. And Israel is doing all of the wrong, folks. That's the problem. And what they're showing you in Palestine and in Gaza is what they have intended for the rest of the world. And some of the stuff that they're doing is just freaky, it really is. This whole surveillance grid, everything that's being rolled out underneath everything else. Now, while people are focused on the war, focused on Gaza, I mean, there's so many things to focus on. And the point is to be able to look at them and see that they're all interconnected. That's the trick. You know, too many people get tunnel vision and they just focus on one thing. You might accuse me of doing that with Gaza over the last 13 months. But I've done so because this is a genocide and it's what they have planned for you. It's what they have planned for the West. They're just legitimizing it with what they're doing in Gaza. That's half of the reason for it going down and being extended to the extent that it is. I mean, lasting so long, it's been going on for 13 months now, 14 months. They want you to really see it, and they want to continue it to the point the people get sick of talking about it. It just becomes boring after a while. Genocide is boring. The death of all these children is boring. Now, that allows them to be able to bring this sort of thing to your own country. And look at what's going on in the United States with Trump's cabinet, everything Trump's doing. Trump has been surrounding himself with the swamp. His whole cabinet is swamp dwellers, Israeli Zionists, hardcore right-wing extremist warmongers, all of them. People saying Trump's going to take down the deep state and take on the deep state. No, he surrounded himself by Zionists, folks, and the deep state is Israel. The deep state's always been Israel. The deep state has been the hidden hand behind all Western political institutions. And that hand is Israel. Trump isn't taking down the deep state. He's just solidifying the control grid. He's going to be bringing in mass surveillance on the borders. He wants to deport all the migrants. He's going to use the military to do it, he says. He's bringing in a police state, he's bringing in a surveillance state, he's bringing in biometric tracking for everything. He's going to be totally capitulating to Israel. Even the new head of the FBI, some Indian guy, what's an Indian guy doing as head of the FBI, has said that his main goal is to see that America wakes up and gets focused on the fact that Israel is the most important thing they need to pay attention to.
We need America to wake up and prioritize Israel and bring home Israelis and make sure we stand by our number one ally in Israel.
It's crazy. All of these people are Zionist puppets, folks, and Trump is going to be ushering in a massive control grid under the guise of ridding America of the deep state. It's very clever the way they've got all this worked out. But it's heading for a really bad, really dangerous place, folks. It really is. This place is coming along. A lot of work being done on it, as you can see. But yeah, it's heading for a really dangerous place, the world, folks. You know, I can't believe people have fallen for the Trump narrative so much. There's still channels on BitChute lauding Trump and saying how he's going to be taking on the deep state and everyone's scared and paranoid because he's going to bring them all down. It's such a joke, folks. Like I said, Israel is the deep state and Trump is surrounding himself with Israelis. Now, he's the Trojan horse for digital ID and for probably the CBDC as well, digital currency. He's going to make Israel great again. And he's already said in some of his speeches that he totally supports the creation of a larger Israel. You know, Israel's so small, wouldn't it be great if there was a way to make it bigger? So he's going to support what they're doing. And it's so easy for him to pull this off. All they have to do is portray the Lebanese as terrorists, portray anybody who fights back against them as being terrorists. I mean, look what's going on in Syria as well. Now we're seeing a resurgence of Islamic extremist groups in Syria. You know, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, all these sorts of things. These people who are seen as moderate rebels in Syria, people who wear the same outfits and wear the same mask and exactly the same stuff, in Gaza are seen as terrorists. And we know ISIS, Al-Qaeda, these are all Israeli creations, the whole thing. You know, and the whole Arab world is uniting over what's going on in Gaza. What better way to stop that than to send in one of your proxy groups of Israelis disguised as Arabs and start doing terrible things in Syria and claim that you're overthrowing Assad again. And the people are rejoicing, freedom from tyranny. These are all Israeli proxy groups, all of them, folks, and they always have been. I mean, I've showed you before, there were two ISIS leaders who were arrested. Both of them turned out to be Mossad. One was a guy by the name of something al-Baghdadi, they were calling him, turned out to be a guy called Simon Elliott, who was a high-level Mossad operative. And there was another guy, Ephraim, I think was his name, and he turned out to be Mossad as well. So all these groups have been proxies of Israel right from the start. And it's done in such a manner as to make the West see Muslims as being these horrible, dangerous people, and to also put the Muslim world against each other. It's crazy, folks. By way of deception, thou shalt do war. That's the Israeli motto, and that's how they do everything. And what they're doing, like, worldwide at the moment is something that really needs to be paid attention to. This whole surveillance state, this legitimizing genocide. You think about what Trump's going to do, expelling the illegal immigrants from America. Some of these people are just Mexicans who've been there for years, who live just across the border. They've got family there, they've married into the culture, they're part of the culture. They're also the workforce for the United States, so you're going to be expelling all the people who do the menial jobs and are prepared to work for low wages. So it's going to really affect the US economy. He's also talking about bringing tariffs on stuff, putting tariffs on all goods that come into the United States, which is basically going to alienate the United States and the rest of the world. He's speaking out about BRICS, saying it's not going to happen, no one's going to start using BRICS, you've got to use the US dollar, and that's not going to change. But meanwhile, he's doing everything he can to alienate the world from the United States. Now he's going to throw out the workforce from the United States, he's going to use the military to round these people up. What does it take before people start pushing back a little bit, pushing back against all the stuff that's being done to them? Look what's going on in North Carolina still. There are people freezing in North Carolina that are still recovering from the massive floods that happened down there. No one's even talking about it. No one's even mentioning these people. There's been no aid go down to them. A couple of, you know, token FEMA shelters set up. But nothing's really been done. And there are people literally freezing to death in South Carolina and North Carolina after the floods, and no one's even hearing about that. I mean, the United States is being destroyed from within. It's being milked dry, all the money's being sent to Israel. You've got famine all over the streets. They changed the law so that, you know, you can't call the cops if people have stolen less than $1,000 worth of stuff from your store. The cops won't even come, which is why you've got so many people going in there and just trashing stores, destroying all the infrastructure. You go to some of the major cities in the United States now, like San Francisco, and the whole center of town's boarded up. All the shops are closed. They never reopened from COVID. And those that did reopen got trashed by people going in there and just stealing stuff. So they're really doing a number on the United States, folks. And what's it going to take before people start really pushing back? And might happen while the military is on the street. And then what steps are they prepared to take? How long before people who start pushing back are categorized as terrorists? And we're already seeing genocide being legitimized in Gaza. We've seen all of these weapons that they create to get tested in the Gaza Strip. Not just the exotic weapons that they use, dime ammunition, flash-a bombs, things like this, but also the surveillance technology. You know, Intel chips. They're setting this whole electrical grid up. People are carrying around these cell phones. They're driving in electric cars. Your electric car, the battery pack on the floor of the car. This is a major bomb, folks. This is a good-sized bomb if they ever want to set these things off. And you've seen that they have the means to do it with Pegasus. They can override all of your battery security systems. They can overheat the battery. And you saw what they just did in Lebanon with the pages and stuff. That's all they did, I would say, would be install something like Pegasus on these pages, which again is a no-click operation. All they have to do is receive a text message or have this code embedded into some message, have some message intercepted, and embed the code into it. So as soon as you open the message, it installs it on your device. This is the sort of stuff that they're capable of, folks. And this is what's coming to the Western world. As I've said before, you know, Palestine is a mechanism of warehousing and surplusing human beings, and also testing weapons, testing exotic weapons, testing surveillance technology.
A lot of you have been wondering if Israel is using Gaza as a testing ground for war crimes around the world. We recently reported on how Israel's defense exports have aided genocides and ethnic cleansings, like the 1994 Rwandan genocide and the ongoing Rohingya crisis in Myanmar. Some of you said Anthony Lowenstein's book had some good insights into this, including how Israel's defense exports could seriously impact human rights abuses in the future. So here he is.
But they are developing massive amounts of weapons, of surveillance tools, and then they test them on Palestinians, and then they market that to a global audience.
If you don't know who Anthony Lowenstein is, he's an independent journalist who's been studying Israel's weapons buildup and what happens to those weapons when they're sold to other countries. One thing you need to know is that for decades, Israel's economy heavily depended on defense exports. In his book, The Palestine Laboratory, Lowenstein describes how Israel trained death squads who executed former members of Chile's socialist government following dictator Augusto Pinochet's military coup. Israel also trained death squads in Nicaragua, Colombia, and other Latin American countries, which were used by the U.S. during former President Ronald Reagan's so-called dirty wars to counter leftist or communist dissent. As Lowenstein puts it, for decades, the Global South has been controlled and pacified by Israeli weapons.
What's far less known is that Israel has often done exactly the same thing alongside the U.S., almost America's wingman.
But there was a key moment that accelerated Israel's weapons exports industry into what it looks like today. The 9/11 attacks.
As soon as that attack happened, Israel was out of the gate saying publicly, the West is about to fight a war on terror, a so-called war on terror. Come to us for advice and training, because we've been fighting a war on terror forever. We know how to win it. And so many nations took that opportunity up.
In the decades since, Israel's military exports have more than tripled. By 2023, Israel's defense exports totaled to about $13 billion, including weapons as well as surveillance technology and military training. And there is a huge global demand for Israeli weapons, especially those tested on Palestinians, which Israeli manufacturers market as battle-proven as a selling point.
It's not often just a defense relationship between Israel and certain countries. Israel actually becomes an ideological model, an ethno-nationalist model.
And these relationships aren't actually that hard to find. Just look at the world's most populous nation.
The country that buys the most weapons off Israel every year is India. Now, India is repressing its Muslim populations for its own reasons. It's not doing it because of Israel. But the relationship between Modi, the Prime Minister of India, and Netanyahu, the leader of Israel, is based on not just weapons, but ideology.
So Israel isn't just exporting weapons and technology, it's exporting ideas. And Lowenstein shows that what starts in Palestine rarely stays there.
I've seen the laboratory accelerating in the last year with all the new tools and technologies and repressive tech that Israel's using in Gaza and trying to sell that globally at global arms fairs. Israel needs to be starved economically. That's the only way that eventually a nation like that will understand that what they're doing is wrong and they need to change.
And now they're testing the human consciousness for its limits on genocide. Yeah, it's the most obvious genocide in history. It's being live streamed all over X, all over TikTok, everywhere. And yet the politicians are simply saying there is no genocide going on. I mean, it's ludicrous at this point to claim that Israel is not committing a genocide. And yet that's all they have to do. The politicians just say this, and the media people say it, and Israel just keeps going on doing it. And what's it going to take? How numb are people becoming to this?
פה כבר מתחילה הרצועה, רצועת עזה. עכשיו יש לנו חיילים שם שנלחמים, ואחרי שהם מסיימו את הלחימה.
אנחנו נעבור לפה?
האמת שלא אחרי, ביחד. חבל על הזמן.
מתי זה יקרה?
תפתח יומן, פחות משנה. זה בטוח.
פחות משנה, את וכמה? שבעה ילדים?
אני שבעת ילדיי, בעלי, ולא רק אנחנו, יש מאות משפחות.
איך קוראים לך? עדס. את רוצה לעבור לעזה? למה?
שאנחנו, מי יש שם שאנחנו נהפוך את זה למקום הכי יפה בעולם.
מה נגיע שבעה ילדים? כל ילד יקים ישוב, מה זאת אומרת? הם כבר הקימו.
מה יקרה לילד הערבי שגר עכשיו בעזה כשאת תבואי לגור שם?
הוא נראה לי ילך לארץ אחרת, זה הארץ שלנו, ואנחנו צריכים פשוט להיות פה. וזה עובדה, זה כתוב לנו, זה ציווי מהתורה לראש אתר.
לאיזה ארץ ציפי לו ללכת, למשל?
לא בארץ ישראל.
אנחנו עכשיו נמצאים באיזשהו מהלך אלוקי גדול, לקראת גאולה גדולה. זה זכות להיות כאן. אתה רוצה להיות שכן שלי?
So, when it's going to come to the United States, when it's going to come to Europe, I mean, if they can erupt Europe into war, which they're really trying to do by threatening Iran, going in and destabilizing Syria, and this is everything I told you they were going to do as well. Remember I said they're going to go into Lebanon, they're not going to let the conflict die. They're going to keep going because they want to take over Lebanon. And I said they're going to go into Syria. And this is what they're doing through their proxy groups, ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and you know, the moderate Syrian rebels. Well, all Israeli agents. You know, you've got Israeli agents infiltrated into all of the Palestinian protests as well. You know, holding up signs saying death to America, death to Canada, we want Sharia law, all sorts of stuff like that, which is not part of any Palestinian protest. These are all Israeli infiltrators, agents provocateurs, going in there to make the West feel like there's a threat from Islam. Well, it isn't. I mean, all these people have been brought into Western countries by the Jews through the Kalergi plan. You know, bomb the shit out of all their countries and force them to flee and then open the borders and arrange trips to take them all to Europe. You know, it's crazy, folks. And so the whole thing has been set up to make people believe that brown-skinned people from the Middle East are your enemy when they've never been an enemy to anybody and they were all perfectly fine before the creation of Israel. You know, they say Israel is our only ally in the Middle East. Well, before the creation of Israel, we didn't have any enemies in the Middle East either. That might be something to think about. But it's all been so contrived, folks, and it's all been set up, and it's all part of the same thing. I mean, the genocide in Gaza, the surveillance grid, Pegasus, all of this sort of stuff, this is all interrelated. Even the COVID jabs and all of that sort of stuff. I mean, test people's compliance. Not only just kill people, but test people's compliance. And again, Trump was the father of the vaccine, folks. How many people have forgotten this? Operation Warp Speed. Operation Warp Speed literally killed millions of people. Been some pushback from it. There's been the great debate just happened in Perth, Australia, in Western Australia. Of course, no politicians that showed up to debate anybody, but it was all based on the Port Hedland report, which has shown the literal thousands, tens of thousands of people in Australia that were injured by the COVID jabs, and that this was actually designed to damage DNA, purposefully designed to do that. And there's been a lot of talk about this in Australia. Councils are picking up all around Australia and feeling that they have a duty of care to their constituents to get this information to them. And of course they do. And to cover this, of course, we're also seeing the announcement in Australia of new COVID variants. It's still going, folks, like 4 years later, and they're still pushing this COVID bullshit, saying new variants, and we may see some deaths over the next 12 months due to COVID variants. This will, of course, be deaths from vaccination damage. And, you know, they don't want you to look at it that way, so they're just calling it a new strain of COVID. Trying to cover their asses, folks. They just passed the underage protection bill, what the internet underage protection bill in Australia as well, whereby nobody under the age of 16 is going to be able to access social media in Australia. Apparently that's due to start at the end of next year. They haven't told you how they're going to monitor this and what it's going to take to be able to determine people's age, of course. So one might question whether this again is another Trojan horse to bring about the introduction of digital ID in Australia. They're doing similar things in other countries as well. They're talking about it. I mean, Australia is leading the way in much of this surveillance and much of this control, leading the way in the cashless grid as well. Although there are a lot of people pushing back against that. There's shops in Australia that will now give you a 5% discount on your purchase if you pay with cash. So there's a lot of people doing what they can to keep cash alive. But they're just bringing in crazy control everywhere, folks. That's what they do. In the UK, you can get 15 years in prison for simply viewing what they term to be right-wing propaganda on social media. Yeah, and what determines what and what is not right-wing propaganda, folks? Is it just stuff that gives you the correct information on things, which happens to be different to what the government is telling you? Is that right-wing extremism now? What, thinking for yourself is right-wing extremism? It's kind of become that way in the last few years. But perhaps viewing information which informs you that the COVID jabs produced the highest non-military mortality rate in the last 100 years, is that right-wing propaganda, or is it simply factual information that you need to have? You know, and what's it going to take? How are they going to go about enforcing this sort of stuff? What's it going to take? I mean, perhaps you're in a place where, you know, you've got all this information, you are aware of the surveillance grid, you're aware of what the government's doing, and you start talking to your neighbours about it. Or does that mean that your entire apartment block is now a block that is pushing right-wing propaganda and are essentially terrorists? Does that mean that the military can come along and simply bomb the entire apartment block? Apparently it's all okay to do that now. We've seen this happening in Gaza, we've seen it happening in Lebanon, and no one's saying diddly squat, none of the politicians, none of the police, none of the powers that be. I mean, the ICC might be, but how much of a token event is that? I mean, the ICC is a toothless tiger, folks. I mean, it issues this arrest warrant for Benjamin Netanyahu, but it expects other countries to carry it out, other governments. I mean, you know, when Benjamin Netanyahu travels, they expect other governments to, you know, recognise their wishes and arrest the guy. But of course, they're not going to do it, folks. Of course, they're not going to do it because Israel controls all of these governments. Israel controls the monetary system, and so they don't want to arrest Bibi Netanyahu because it might affect their bank accounts, might affect their economies. I mean, look what Israel's done to any other countries that have turned against them, and what sort of exotic weapons have they got? And not just the surveillance stuff, not just, you know, what sort of laser weapons? Look, think about 9/11. What were these directed energy weapons or whatever it was that brought down the Twin Towers? What caused the Twin Towers on 9/11 to simply turn to dust, whereby there was no collapsed floors, there was nothing there to indicate that a building had collapsed? It was just turned to dust, the whole building, two buildings. Well, three buildings, really. What sort of weapons do they got? What sort of exotic things can they use against the people? That's the question, folks. And all this surveillance stuff, I mean, it's going to ridiculous places, it really is. This place is really coming along, eh? This place is really coming along. Oh yeah, by the way, I got reinstated on X as well. Interesting. Actually, let me have my account back. I was back up to 5,000 subscribers. Now I think I've got about 6,000, so that's good. I think a lot of people actually contacted X and said, hey, fix Max Egan's account. And thank you to all the people who did that, folks. I think you actually made a difference. It just shows that we can make a difference if we put our minds to it. And thanks to all the people who contacted them and asked them to reinstate my account. It's really good of you to do so. And it obviously did have some effect. Of course, you know, it's because they don't like me talking about all the stuff that I talk about. They still don't like me talking about Palestine. But, you know, you got to really pay attention to this, folks. I mean, we're witnesses to this event. They blew up another hospital as well in Gaza the other day as well. Kidnapped all the medical staff and paraded them outside, stripped them naked and sat them down outside. And no, these are not fighters. These are the staff from Kamal Adwan Hospital in Gaza. You know, this is what they do, folks. This is just what they do. And they sniped a 5-year-old child the other day as well, in her mother's arms. The Israelis, oh look, there's a woman holding a child. Let's not shoot the woman, let's shoot the child while she's holding it so its head explodes while she's nursing it. That'll be a nice Sunday surprise for her. This is just the way Israelis think, folks. It's absolutely it's shocking. It's unbelievable. I mean, a lot of people just can't imagine this sort of stuff. They don't believe it to be true because they can't imagine anyone would actually think that way. But it is how they think, folks. I mean, you know, replacing sugar with sand, leaving tins of food there that have been laced with poison so people have convulsions and stuff, shooting children while they're being nursed, cradled in their mother's arms. Only Israelis could think of this sort of stuff, folks. Only Israelis could think about it. But anyway, look, I think that's about all I've got to say. Just a short report today. Just wanted to come in and check in with you, let you know I'm all safe and alive. Oh, by the way, you saw Hunter Biden was pardoned the other day as well by Joe, one of his parting gestures. This criminal son he's got his hand in so many pies of corruption. But Biden said that he definitely wouldn't interfere, he wouldn't pardon him. Well, he just did. Of course, Trump's sprouted up and mouthed up and said, oh, he thinks it shows that we need to tighten up the legal system. So again, he can use this to bring in even more laws and even more draconian legislation, more draconian rules. He didn't say he disagreed with the pardon. He just said it indicates that they need to tighten the ship up a little bit. Yeah, he's going to be the worst thing that ever happened to the United States, folks. He's not going to free you from the deep state. He is the deep state because the deep state is Israel, and it always has been. Interesting, the way they created so many rabbit holes for people to go down as well and never really see the truth about it. But you know, the only way out of this, I mean, because it's really coming down hard, folks. It's really coming down hard. And a lot of people still call for revolution. We've got to attack the police. We've got to attack the government. No, this is all the wrong way of doing things. I mean, sure, defend yourself if you're attacked by these people, but we don't need that. We don't need violence. Violence will never get us out of this mess. Violence is what brought us into this mess. Violence, and you know, not just physical violence, but emotional violence, financial violence, mind violence, you know, mind control, all the shit that they've done to us, all this can be construed as violence. But really, non-compliance is the only way out of it. The problem is, like I said, they're rolling out this whole smart grid, this whole surveillance grid, this whole Internet of Things / Internet of Bodies, Internet of Everything, including you. And this has been happening beneath the surface of all this, while all this is going on, all again under the pretext of protecting you. And they've been testing it and perfecting it in Gaza. They've been using AI to target people in Gaza. They know where everybody is because they've got Pegasus on all of their phones. They know everything that's going on. They know exactly who they're targeting. They know how many people are in buildings. There's nobody in Gaza who has been killed by accident. Israel has too much technology for that to happen. And it's really been taken to the next level. And see, people are all embracing this. People are embracing ChatGPT. I think all the new Apple phones that are coming out, whatever number it is, I don't use Apple phones, but I think all the new Apple phones are having ChatGPT installed on them by default. Of course, it'll be listening to everything you do, analysing everything you do, cloning your voice, I mean, anything it wants to do. Crazy stuff. I've said before that they'll end up replacing Google with ChatGPT as well. And it will tell you what, you know, the system that programs it wants you to know. Elon Musk has been talking about creating a new browser, a new search engine to rival Google. And of course, it would be AI powered. You know, everyone will think it's great because it's Elon Musk doing it. Elon Musk is not your friend, folks. He's really not. He's part of the system, like up to his ears part of the system. You know, but there's all sorts of stuff like this going on. They really want you controlled by AI in everything you do. Looking nice in here, isn't it? But yeah, they want you controlled by AI with everything that you do, and they want it all linked together. And they want you to want it. You know, it doesn't work if you don't see it as some funky new toy. You know, so that's what they want you to believe, and that's how they're sucking people into it. But you look at all the surveillance that they're doing. Look at the drones. I've seen all the drone displays and all the stuff they're doing. They're using drones as military assault devices all through Ukraine, testing all this out, doing it in Gaza as well. Doing it everywhere, using drones to attack things. And we've seen some of the Chinese drone displays of how incredible these things are and how easily they are to control in swarms. I spoke to you, like I was getting onto before, about the Internet of Bodies and the Internet of Things, where everybody will be hooked up, and how this is what the graphene was all about. The graphene injections, or the graphene in the injections, has been forming nanocircuitry and all sorts of stuff, little biomachines inside people, which makes them very easy to control as well. Hook everything up, folks. It's all about MAC addresses. See, everything's got a MAC address. If they can give you a MAC address, and all they got to do is inject you with something to give you that MAC address, then they've got you. Doesn't matter. There's no escaping this shit. That's why everybody who had the jab now has a MAC address. This isn't Macintosh. This is a MAC address. This is a different thing. You know, even Android phones, Windows, whatever, everything has a MAC address, an MAC address. And they're doing stuff now, like they've been testing devices, actually a laser device, which is controlled by your eyes. Check this out. Yeah, what's it going to be like when the military and the police, or the military and police that are actually robots, you know, like Terminator, when they've got these type of devices, laser devices that go wherever the eyes will look, you know, and finding out everything they can about people through surveillance as well. Now there's a new test they've just completed where they are transferring data via lucid dreaming. Have a look at this. That's crazy. Even coming up with that idea is crazy. And you think about it, if they've got this graphene in you, I mean, there they've got like devices connected to people, well, in the diagram anyway. Pity they don't actually show any real footage of what they're doing and how it was done. But in the diagram, they've kind of got devices hooked up and people hooked up to Wi-Fi. But what if that's a bit of a red herring, that they don't actually need to have you hooked up to a device? You're already hooked up to the device by the graphene that they injected into your body through the COVID jab. All they have to have is your Wi-Fi router on while you sleep, And they can transfer information from you via lucid dreaming, or perhaps even meet you in lucid dreams, and perhaps even influence you through lucid dreams, perhaps control your dreams. Perhaps it'll be lucid for them and you won't know it, and you'll have someone in there controlling things for you, implanting things into your mind. Think of the movie Inception, what they were capable of doing in that movie. I mean, and how much of this is actually fiction? You've got to wonder, folks. You've really got to wonder. So this is all being taken to the next level now. And again, all of this weaponry, all of this stuff has been tested in Palestine. One of the reasons they got us on the net, you know, on the World Wide Web, you know, what do you do with a web? What do you do with a net? I've said it so many times. You catch things with nets. The internet, the international net, the interconnected net, the World Wide Web. Catch people, catch your prey, and exterminate them and control them. You think about what they're doing. Everyone's carrying around one of these lithium bombs in their pockets, holding it in their hands, putting it up next to their head all day. All they do is call you and have you put the phone to your head and then explode the battery. They'll blow your hand off and half your head off. People driving around in electric cars, which are essentially huge family-sized bombs, controlling people through lucid dreaming. You know, creating robot police with lasers, targeting lasers for their eyes. I mean, you can't make this shit up. You really can't, folks. And controlling the money system and doing all the stuff they're doing. And while this is all happening, legitimizing genocide. Live streaming it. Live streaming the killing of thousands upon thousands of children. Live streaming the killing of women. Blowing up of buildings. Suburban homes. You know, 70% of the people that have been killed in Gaza are women and children, folks. This isn't collateral damage. This is deliberate targeting. Like I said, they know everybody who's in every room. They know exactly who they're targeting with everything they've done in Gaza. And they've used a lot of this surveillance technology to do it, using new exotic weapons as well. There was one report that I saw, a bit of a joke, but someone said, you know, the reason we can't find so many Palestinian bodies is because Israel is using some exotic weapon causing bodies to evaporate. I think this has again been put out by Israeli sources in order to, you know, make you think it's a joke. Here's a friend of mine over here playing the yidaki. We'll get some on camera, eh?
It's coming, Max.
Cool.
How you doing?
Good. This was the guy who had Bell's palsy, if you remember. He couldn't play the didgeridoo or the yidaki. And I hear he is playing it. How you doing?
Awesome, Max.
Awesome. You look almost back completely to normal, man.
Yeah, totally.
Good shit. I'll come and see you again before I go.
See you.
So I don't even know what I was talking about before. I got distracted by the yidaki. Yeah, but all this surveillance stuff, people have got to see what's going on and where all this is coming from. Because again, it's coming from the same people. This is why these people were expelled from so many countries so many times. 109 countries, 1,030 times they were expelled. And no, it's not a joke, folks. It's actually true. I mean, they've done this sort of thing before, maybe not to this degree, not using this type of technology, of course, but they've always targeted our societies. They've destroyed families and societies and whole civilizations. Target the children, of course. They always target the children. And there's been many warning signs left behind, folks. Yeah, like it says, why do these pictures exist? And why are there so many of them? Look at some of the bas reliefs and things that you see above churches and stuff as well. It's incredible, some of the demonic stuff you see in the bas reliefs above churches. You've got to ask, what is this stuff doing there? Religion is, I don't know, folks. I think you've got a connection to God and you don't need religion to get in the way. I really do. For those Christians out there, if Jesus was a real person, if he existed, I know this is debated, but if he did, he was basically telling you the same thing, that you don't need religion. You've all got this connection to the divine, should you choose to exercise that connection. Now, you don't need money. You don't need the state. You don't need to buy salvation from the bankers. You know, all that sort of shit, folks. I mean, there's a lot of people through history that have tried to bring you this message. You know, it just depends on how open people have been to the message. And but all of this is coming to a head right now. And Trump is going to be the one to usher all of this in.
Turn on the news and you can see murders that are sponsored by every Western nation in the world. Ask yourself who's behind it all. Who's really pulling the strings? They're the same ones who bought you the COVID scam, the NATO-Ukraine-Russia war. When you see children being slaughtered in Palestine by a massive bombing campaign, you have to ask, who is powerful enough to have mass murder of children acceptable? This is about global destabilization. The big banksters have been kicking the can down the road for decades. Whole countries are in debt for mega trillions of dollars. Everything is on the tick, and the best way to funnel money back to the money men is through war and the military-industrial arms complex. War makes money. History proves that. These people who are behind all that's going on are psychopaths, murdering children without so much as a shrug of the shoulders. Think about that. Who is actually running the world? Governments are nothing more than manipulated sock puppets. When you see our Prime Minister having private meetings with the likes of Bill Gates, a provable criminal, and find out about the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in India and the Philippines, you have to ask, what the fuck does Bill Gates have to do with health, viruses and pandemics, or anything at all to do with human well-being? How about the fact that he's heavily invested in vaccines and mRNA technology? He's a crook. He's out in the open influencing everyone from governments to the WHO, and he's getting them to push his product.
You know, genetically modified organisms, and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein.
Who in the military-industrial complex is powerful enough to get governments to murder innocents? It's a twisted and inverted world when these psychopaths are allowed to get away with the murder and maiming of thousands of children, whether by poisonous mRNA technology that's like a ticking time bomb, or by bombing people in their homes. It's time for ordinary people to do extraordinary things. We can't sit back and allow our politicians to engage with any of these entities, whether practically or morally.
Next level stuff, folks. Really next level stuff. Well, anyway, yeah, like I said, I might leave it there for now. I'm not sure how many videos I'll get to you over the next month. I'll get a few. I've got a few interviews coming up and stuff. But I've got to move out of the house that I'm in this month. And I've got a lot of stuff to organise. I've still got all this stuff from the bar I've got to sort out, give away, ship some of my stuff back to Australia. There's just stuff that I'm carrying around that I don't need to, like my guitars. I'm not playing them, so there's no need to keep them here in Mexico. And they're just too big to drag around everywhere. So there's stuff I want to ship back there. And I've got a lot of stuff I've got to take care of. I don't know where I'm going to be living in January, so I've got to work that out. And then, of course, I'll be back here in a secret garden in February for an Acapulco. Again, folks, it's going to be a big year this year. I think Gareth Icke is coming to an Acapulco this year as well, which would be good. Be good to see Gareth again. I'm actually doing an interview with Gareth tomorrow on the Iconic Network. I think David is going to be speaking as well, but virtually. And there's been so much happen in the last 12 months that I think it's going to be an incredibly interesting event, folks. But again, you know, you'll find a link below. As always, you'll find a link where you can go and purchase a ticket if you want to. And you can use my name, Egan, I-G-A-N, as the coupon to get a 10% discount, which is always worth doing. A lot of workers out here getting things together. And like I said, you know, you've got to see what's coming, and you've got to realize that the only way out of this is non-compliance. There's no violent way out of this, folks. Stop complying with your own slavery. Stop using all of this smart tech. We know where it comes from. We know what it's designed to do. And like I said, the main goal of the smart tech in its presentation is to make it appear trendy and fancy and, you know, flashing lights and all things that you want and you need, and then make it indispensable so that you can't run your life without it, and then basically use it to control you and lock you down. You know, when it's all digital currency and digital ID, they'll be able to determine who goes online. I mean, you're going to see the digital ID come in Australia through the, you know, under 16 protection bill, and in the United States through the securing the borders propaganda. It's all going to be coming into place. Yeah, and once they get it on the borders, well, you're seeing all these riots and all this terrible stuff that's going on. Like I mentioned before, people going trashing department stores and stuff, all these stores closed now. How are you going to get around that and have anything open up again? Well, you could put digital ID and biometric surveillance on the supermarket doors and on the department store doors, and you could have to scan a QR code and do a retinal scan to get in. Then if you steal anything, well, it's all going to be known about anyway. And eventually, I mean, they won't even need people in there, because you can just go in and pick up what you want, and your smartphone will automatically pay for it when you leave. They've already got supermarkets like this in place in some places in the United States and in Holland and a few places like that. So, yeah, this is where it's all going, folks. They're doing it by stealth. They want to get this system in place, and, you know, if they don't get through it with one way, like doing it openly and have people agree to it, well, they'll do it by stealth, so that before people know it, they're suddenly living in this dystopia and they don't really know how they got there. Oh, I thought I was just buying stuff from a supermarket. I thought I was just protecting society against terrorism and against rabid bands of thieves that are going around trashing department stores. So they just spin a yarn and they get people to believe it, and people just buy into it, and before you know it, well, there you are. You've ended up where you were headed. And that's never a good place. But all this stuff is being perfected by Israel, and it's being rolled out by Israel. That is who is behind all of it. All the tech companies, Intel chips, the back doors into them, everything, the smart grid, LGBTQ, mass surveillance, exotic weaponry, the legitimization of terrorism, in as much as we saw the pager attack in Lebanon, which was blatant terrorism, indiscriminate terrorism carried out against the public. They got away with it. Ta-da, no, it was badass. It was excellent. It was just the most sophisticated James Bond type military thing we've ever seen, and we commend Israel for doing it. It was a terror attack. And so we've seen that. We've seen the justification and legitimization of ethnic cleansing and genocide in Gaza. And we've seen all of our governments falling over backwards, politicians just tripping over themselves in order to support Israel and what it's doing, claiming it's saving the world and it's ridding the world of terrorists. You know, people just don't understand what a terrorist is. A terrorist is anybody who questions the overreach that we are seeing perpetrated by our governments. And that's leading us to a scary place, folks. And the only way to combat it is to not comply with it. I mean, if you just throw away your credit cards, get a debit card. Get a debit card and go to machines. Or even if you've got a credit card, I mean, go to an ATM and draw money out and use money to do your shopping. Don't carry a smartphone with you anywhere. You know, even if I go back to Australia next year for a little while at some stage, which I plan to do, I'm not going to be putting a SIM card in a smartphone. I'm not going to be carrying a smartphone with me anywhere. I mean, I've got a smartphone at home, which I use to access my banking app. That's it. It never leaves the house. It's got a Mexican SIM card in it, and it's a de-Googled phone, so it doesn't have any of that other shit in it anyway. But when I go back to Australia, I'll be keeping the Mexican SIM card. I won't be making any phone calls on it. I never make phone calls on it. And that's it. It doesn't leave the house. It doesn't go with me anywhere. I never hold it to my head or anything like that. I mean, I can do all that sort of stuff with my computer, using a microphone and a camera hooked up to my computer. But I don't need to have anything to do with that smart tech and smartphones and stuff. Now, if people stop using these things and they stop shopping with credit cards, it would make such a huge difference. Like, really, it would make a huge difference. Now, people out there thinking, what can I do? Why don't you ever provide any solutions? I've been providing the solution with every show that I've ever done over the last 16 years, or however long I've been doing this. Now, the solution is non-compliance. The solution is you to stop going along with your own slavery. Stop using their tools of enslavement. No political party you can vote in or out. There's no revolution you can stage. You just get painted as a group of right-wing extremists. You'll be the, you know, American version of Hamas or Hezbollah or whatever. And people putting bandanas on and masks on their face and going out there with machine guns thinking they're going to make a difference. It's a joke. You're not. The best form of pushback against this is to stop using their technology. Stop using their smart devices. Stop shopping with a credit card. Stop taking a smartphone with you everywhere you go. Now, if you want to, you know, a chance to record things everywhere you go, you like them because they got a video recorder, well, buy a little Osmo Pocket, like this camera I got here. Just buy a little camera, use that. You don't need to have a smart device with you everywhere you go. Of course, they're making it essential. You've got to get a smart device to get an Uber or to get this or to get that. See, have you so you're completely dependent upon this thing in order to perform everyday actions, you know? Do things in everyday life. That's what they want. It's always been the goal, folks. Make it seem bright and new and flashy and trendy and have you comply with it, because ultimately it's leading to your demise and it's leading to the total control of everything. Now, if they can bring in digital ID and digital currency and have your only way of accessing the world to be through your smart device, then they've got you. That's the ultimate slavery system, folks, right there, and that's what they're heading for. Very important for people to see this. But anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now. I keep saying that. And like I said, I'm not sure how many videos I'll get done over the next month, but I'll get a few done. And I've got a bunch of interviews coming up as well, so you'll get them. And again, thank you to all the people who contacted Twitter on my behalf and asked them to restore my account, or X. That's it's great. I'm not going to be posting there that much. I'll just be reposting things and posting my weekly videos. I'm not going to be commenting that much on things. And, you know, a lot of the people you're commenting against are bots anyway. You've got to remember that, folks. A lot of the arguments you get into are bots. And they're, you know, AI. They can keep you there arguing for hours and it's just going nowhere. And you're never going to convince them of anything because they're an AI bot. That's been programmed into view everything you say as contrary. Now, the only purpose from commenting, the only purpose I even comment on things anyway, it's for people who come along later who read the thread, like real people, and say, oh shit, someone here can actually think properly. Well, what he said makes sense, you know, so that's kind of the only reason I do it. But yeah, thank you to all the people who contacted X on my behalf and got my account reinstated. Again, thank you to all the people out there on the front line speaking out, making a difference. Thank you to all the people that put on the great debate in Western Australia and are getting all this COVID information out to people. The politicians must be falling over themselves to try to cover all this up and not participate in it and just hope it goes away. But let's make sure it doesn't go away. Let's contact the media about it. Also, I mean, because the media and the politicians, I mean, they're complicit. It's all the same thing. There's no real journalism anymore. There's some in the alternate realm, but none in the mainstream. There's no journalists. I mean, the mainstream media has just become the unofficial mouthpiece for government over the last 10, 15 years, 20 years. So there's no point trying to convince them of anything. I'm just going to say what they're paid to say, because most of the media companies are run by Jewish CEOs who dictate what can be reported and what can't. Now, occasionally you'll have a reporter think outside the box and say something outside the box, and they'll immediately get sacked. So we can't expect too much to come from them. But you know, people out there that are speaking out about this sort of stuff, you are making a difference, and thank you so much for doing so. I've been doing it for a long time, folks, and it's really good to see other people now stepping up to the plate. As usual, thank you to anybody who's ever sent me a kind email or posted a kind comment. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. You guys are awesome. And again, you've kept this show on the air for the last 10 years, the last 8 years since I ran out of savings. And without you guys, I couldn't do it. So, yeah, thank you for that. But anyway, I'll leave it there for now, folks. Please take very good care until we speak next, and hopefully that will be soon, and I'll look forward to speaking to you again soon in Lakesh.
זה הדגל שלי! אהו!
עורב! אנרכיסט! הלו! עזוב את הדגל!
היא קראה לי אותו לגזרים.
אני בשוק.
האמת, בדיוק כמו שהמדינה שלנו כרגע קרואה לגזרים.
עורב! עורב! מה?
שוב! רגע, אתה ממש רוצח סדרתי! סבתא, תראי מה הוא עושה!